This afternoon we're reading from the Psalm 8, a Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. The 8th Psalm is in the most proper sense a song of praise. The praise is directed to God. There is one word which dominates the praise of the psalmist. The word is glory, the glory of the Lord. Glory is a definition of who God is. Twice in the psalm, in the first verse and again in the 9th verse, he uses the word excellent in relation to God. The Lord is glorious because of his excellencies. There is a perfection in the nature of God which sets him apart in the entire universe. There is no one like him. Therefore, he is worthy of our praise and adoration. Are you aware of God today? Do you sit down and think about the greatness of his being? Are you conscious of his presence which is with us always? Do you respect and revere him? He is not a myth. He is more than a name. He is a being, the greatest of all beings. He must be honored because of his glory, because of his worth. This psalm is good because it brings us face to face with the glory of the Lord. Today we are going to think about how God honors himself, how he glorifies himself. How do we see the glory of God? How does he reveal his glory to us? We're going to think about that today. God's excellency, God's worth, as he reveals that to us in the world. Let's think about the glory of the Lord. First of all, the Lord is glorified through his name. Our first and primary revelation of the glory of God comes to us through his name. David begins his song with the words, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. There are two names for God here, but these two names are actually different. O Lord, our Lord. The first Lord, which is in capital letters, this is the most solemn and most sacred name for God. It is the name Jehovah. David is literally saying, Jehovah, our Lord. The name Jehovah comes first. This was the holiest of all the names for God in ancient times. It was the name which the scribe feared to write. He would bathe himself when he came to this one word because it represented the holiness and the majesty of God. Such was the honor which dignified Jehovah that it was never pronounced. Its syllables were never breathed. No one attempted to utter this name for fear that mortal lips of sin would detract from the glory of God. Therefore, the Jews, in talking about the Lord, he would use the word Adonai, meaning master, one who is in control, a sovereign. And this was a lower word. David used both here. He describes Jehovah as the covenant-keeping unchangeable God, and he says this covenant-keeping unchangeable God is our Lord. He's our master. He's our king. O Lord, our Lord. Jehovah is my king. That's what he was saying. David was the king of Israel, and yet the king said, the Lord is my king. How far short we fall when it comes to honoring the name of God. Some today will glibly use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a swear word, and so his holy name is blasphemed. The name of God is excellent. It is precious. It reveals to us who he is. Think about your response to this question. Is the Lord your Lord? Does he belong to you? Do you belong to him? Have you confessed your sin and surrendered your life to him? I also want to talk to you about how the Lord is glorified through creation. David takes the reader and the worshipper from the name of the Lord to the creative genius of the Lord. What has God done? He has set his glory above the heavens. As a shepherd and as a warrior, this ancient king had sat many times under the canopy of the stars in a dark night, and he had wondered with amazement at the glory of it all. Above and beyond this world, there is a myriad of galaxies, of stars, of constellations. The universe is vaster than the human mind could ever conceive. All of this did not evolve. It was created by God out of nothing. He has set the stars in space for his glory. Today, man is utterly bent on eradicating God from history and from nature and from science. Therefore, God is airbrushed out of the beginnings of the universe. He is relegated to a myth and a legend. How foolish and how wretched man is to deny the genius of our benevolent and remarkable Creator. Let us lift up our eyes today and behold the glory of the Lord as we see that in creation. And let's call it creation, the wonders of his hands. Let us also think about the Lord being glorified through his praise. David, in this beautiful song, now introduces the idea of praising this great God. But who is praising him? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. God is glorified through the praises of men, but especially through the praises of little children. How is this so? Is it because of the simplicity of a child's faith, which is so much more pure than the polluted reasoning of the adult? Maybe so. We are told that childlike faith is the greatest form of faith. We certainly learn from this that little children do come to faith in Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a decision we should encourage boys and girls to postpone until an older age. It is right to encourage children to take Christ as Saviour when they are very young and able to understand. God, in a peculiar manner, is honoured through their faith. Did not our Lord say, "Suffer the little children to come unto me"? In relation to the psalm and the life of Jesus Christ, the Lord quoted these words in the week before his death. He was in the temple. The boys and girls were singing his praises. But Christ offended the children by saying the words of David. "Yea, have ye never read," he denounced the scribes and the Pharisees, "out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." Matthew 21:16. If you are to become a Christian today, childlike faith is what is required. Have you taken Jesus as your Saviour? In the final place, let us think about the Lord being glorified through mankind. The remainder of the psalm, we might say the main body of the psalm, is taken up with how God is glorified through humanity. Humanity is the crown of his creation. When he fashioned man in his own image, God perfected the universe. Despite the beauty of the universe and of our own planet, the blue planet, creation would have been incomplete without Adam and Eve, our first parents. Yet David utters a sense of bewilderment and astonishment that God should ever consider man and dignify him. He looks heavenward again to the stars, the work of God's fingers, and then he asks, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" It is a powerful question. Who are we? We are made of dust and clay. We are here for a little time, but shortly we will all return to the dust. We are a decaying race physically. We are also a corrupt people morally. We are sinful by nature because of the disobedience of our first parents. All around us in the world, we observe these twin traits, corruption and sinfulness. Today we might say, what is man that God should think about him? Who are we? David identifies who man is and how God has been kind to this race despite our deficiencies. We are positioned between the angels and the beasts. We have been set a little lower than the angels, and we have been given dominion over the animals. We are set apart from animals because we have souls which will live eternally. We are lower than the angels because they are spirit beings without bodies like ours. Yet in the providence of God, the human race fulfills a vital role, and God has designed it so that man should bring glory to his name. That is why we are in the world, to glorify and honour God. While the discoveries and inventions of the human race certainly glorifies God, in that the seeds of such wisdom were planted by the Creator, it is a tragic truth that men and women have lost sight of their great purpose. Man is becoming increasingly self-orientated as opposed to being God-conscious. Perhaps today you're living for self. You're living for time. You're engaging in sinful pleasure as if there were no spiritual values, yet you're unhappy. And you are unhappy because true enjoyment can only exist when you live your life in the fear of God. How can you begin living for God and therefore begin enjoying life? In Hebrews chapter 2, Paul refers to the 8th Psalm when he writes, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus became lower than the angels when he took a human body. In that human body, he tasted death, and he suffered that he might take many sons to glory. God's glory in man has been defaced by sin. Jesus elevated humanity when he became man, but he became the perfect man in order that God might be honored again through the human race. Therefore, in order that you might know God and enjoy God, as a man or a woman, you must put your faith in Jesus Christ, the perfect man who died for us. It is only through Christ that your purpose in this world will be realized. It is only through Christ that you can be happy and content. It is only through Christ that you can go to heaven, know God, honor God, enjoy a new life in a corrupt world by coming to Jesus. I thank you very much for listening.